It's my Bible. It is the Word of God, and it is the will of God for my life. I am who the Word says I am. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm where the Word says I am, seated right now in Christ Jesus, in the heavenly realms, the place of authority, dominion, and power. I have what the Word says I have. All the blessings of Abraham are mine, and I can do what the Word says I can do. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Today my mind is alert, my spirit is receptive, so I'm taught the Word of God. My life has changed for the better. I will never be the same again. Amen. Amen. God bless you. 7 steps to answered prayer. And it seems to me that the full gospel body of Christ has gotten sloppy. And rather than study the Word, find out what the Word says about how to get our needs met and our prayers answered, we have come to rely on other people's faith and somebody laying hands on us or anointing us with oil. And you understand, there's a place for that. There's a time for that. But the problem is that as we have been born again a while, Father God expects something of us. Amen. You know me now. And I don't go anywhere except to rest or study anymore. But I traveled the earth. I preached the gospel in more than 40 nations. I've won over 250,000 to the Lord in person. And I've seen the blind see, the lame walk, and the deaf hear. Well, how come we don't see that in church? Well, because when we go to the ends of the earth, we're talking to people who have never heard the good news. And God puts His kingdom on display with signs and wonders and miracles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we've been taught the Word, and most of us have been born again a while. So the Lord expects something of us. Tell your neighbor, the Lord expects something of us. You know, some little old pissant was criticizing us here a while back. You know, said words, there's no signs, wonders, miracles. I stood up here in Holy Week Revival 2020, and I made proclamations over this congregation regarding their plandemic. And I said that Faith Christian Center would not lose one member to this. Amen. And to this day, 4 years later, we have not lost one member to that. Now, that's not a sign and a wonder and a miracle. I don't know, you know, maybe somebody didn't get goosebumps. Yeah, well, I would rather not go to the croaker because of something somebody planned. Amen. So tell your neighbor, listen up. Hallelujah. 7 steps to answered prayer. See, this generation wants a half a step. 7 steps to answered prayer. We don't have time to review, but 1, know what you want from God and find the scriptures that definitely promise you those things. And we subdivided that first step into 3 sub-steps. Find the scriptures, meditate on the scriptures, and then use those scriptures to defend against voices that would try and cause you to doubt God. 2, ask God for the things you want and believe that you receive them. But see, that's based on 1. If I don't know what I'm talking about when I go to prayer, it's going to be a whole lot easier for Satan to talk me out of my position when I go before God and ask of Him. 3, let every thought and every desire affirm that you have got what you have asked for. Let every thought and every desire affirm that you have got what you have asked for. Now, three verses I gave you to meditate on going into these days. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. No ifs, ands, maybes. It shall be done for you. Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Say it out loud, I shall have them.
I shall have them.
1 John 5:14-15, this is the confidence. Everybody shout confidence.
Confidence.
This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have. Shout out loud, we know that we have.
We know that we have.
Now, last night we spent our time, and we're going to spend our time this evening. Might seem like a lot, 2 messages out of 7. But this is where we live or die. This is where we get healed or not. This is where the rubber meets the road. And I have never in my life studied anything from the Word of God that changed me in real time like this did when I got away for a couple of weeks in January and studied this, because I saw, and this is where the Power Lunch message came from, I saw that I had focused a lot of my life on winning the battle in the mouth, but I saw that I had not focused enough attention on winning the battle in the mind. And so point number 3 is so critical. Let every thought and every desire affirm that you have got, you have got, you have got what you asked for. And John says, this is the confidence. Shout confidence.
Confidence.
We have an approaching God that if we ask anything according to his will. See, that's why we got to do step number 1. You know, we need to know that we're asking according to his will, that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have. Shout out loud, we know that we have.
We know that we have.
We know that we have what we ask of him. And we were in the middle of this last evening that, you know, in our day, in our generation, it seemed easier then than now, but we made 2 assumptions. Number 1, that the Bible is true. And the second assumption we made was that if God tells me to do something, I must be able to do it. Because if God told me to do something and I was not able to do it, that would make him unjust. And he is not unjust. And we left off last night saying to one another, tell your neighbor right now, the Bible is God speaking to me, and the Bible is God speaking to you. Tell the neighbor on the other side, the Bible is God speaking to me, and the Bible is God speaking to you. And so when we come along passages or verses where God tells us what to do, we can do it. Sometimes you'll hear people say, well, sometimes it seems like I can have faith and sometimes I can't. Well, we have to read the Bible and get a hold of ourselves, because it says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, back in the day when we started down this route heavy duty, because we had moved into that first building up at I-30 after the stock market crash in October of 87, and there was a deep recession that set in upon the land. We got over there into 89, and we just got serious. And I behoove you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to get serious about seeing prayers answered. Because if the Lord leaves us here for much longer, we are going to have to know how to go to God and ask and receive. Are you hearing me? We have too many crutches and we're depending on too many things besides Father God. And one by one, those things are going to be eliminated from us if the Lord leaves us here much longer. Now, without faith, so I'd answer these, you know, people that would criticize that I was going down this road. I'm not really into that faith stuff. And I would always say the same thing. Well, I'm really sorry to hear you're not into pleasing God. What? And I would say, because the Bible says, there it goes, the word says, without faith it is impossible to please him. It doesn't say it's difficult to please, it says it's impossible to please him. And then the next clause would really just irritate folks. That's back in the day, not you to hear tonight. Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that just really irritates the heck out of the devil. Amen. And so, but that's what the word says. So bless God, you can have faith. Tell your neighbor, you can have faith. And that's what Jesus exhorted us to do in Mark 11:22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. And how many times have I stood here and said, have faith in God, have faith in God, have faith in God, have faith in God. And we ought to be ashamed of ourselves for the stuff we have faith in. You know, the Rangers finally pulled it out. But some of y'all are still, you know, rooting, tooting for the Cowboys. I mean, it is, we ought to be embarrassed at what we have faith in. Are you hearing me? So have faith in God, have faith in God, have faith in God. Well, somebody might say, how can I have faith unless God gives it to me? The Bible tells us exactly how to have faith. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Fred Price used to say that, so then faith cometh by hearing, and 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 hearing the word of God. The Bible does not say faith cometh by having heard. It is an ongoing process. Faith is actually an ongoing discipline. I have got to keep my faith high by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Shout out loud, so then faith cometh.
So then faith cometh.
Shout it again, so then faith cometh.
So then faith cometh.
See, if faith cometh, it must not have been there in the first place. Say it again, so then faith cometh.
So then faith cometh.
The problem, of course, is people try to get faith every way except the way God says it comes. And so if God demands, and he does demand, that I have faith when it's impossible for me to have faith, well, then God is unjust, and I have a right to challenge his justice. But if he places in my hands the means whereby faith can be produced, then the responsibility for me having faith is up to me and not up to God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Shout it out loud again, so then faith cometh.
So then faith cometh.
Shout it again, so then faith cometh.
So then faith cometh.
And how does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now you don't have to you have to understand this. It doesn't say then, so then faith cometh by having heard. I don't know how many times in 51 years I've had people say, oh, I've heard that. You know, back up at I-30, before we would do or redo our successful marriage seminar, people would call in for counseling. And the office staff would say, well, that is really fortuitous because, you know, next week or the week after, Pastors Gene and Sue are getting ready to do or redo their seminar, The Successful Marriage. And the person on the phone would say, oh, I've heard that. See, that's how a defeated Christian talks. So when the crisis comes, their faith doesn't work because they don't have any faith, because they haven't been doing any hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Kenneth Hagin used to tell the story about a woman in Albuquerque, New Mexico, who had been a cripple her whole life. One leg was shorter than the other. The foot on the shorter leg was deformed, and that deformed foot was missing a toe. Well, someone gave her Kenneth Hagin's series, Faith Classics, and she listened to those tapes. Back then it was tapes. She told Kenneth Hagin when she met him, even though she had grown up in a full gospel church, she did not understand the messages at all. But she didn't have a job, and as a crippled woman, she had nothing to do anyway. So she just listened to those messages over and 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 over for 6 months. When she told Kenneth and Aretha Hagin this story, she was 46 years old, and she was so proud because she was wearing the first pair of new shoes she had ever had in her life. See, this is the type of cool stuff that my Jesus does. Not one normal shoe and a different shoe for the deformed foot. The first pair of normal shoes she had ever had in her entire life. After 6 months of listening to those messages daily, she said she finally got it. You know what happened? Faith came. She heard and faith came. And she said, just there at home by herself, 46 years old, a cripple her entire life, her crippled foot straightened out, the leg grew out several inches to match the other, and to top it all off, a baby toe grew out on that deformed foot. And at age 46, she grew a little toe on that deformed foot, her left foot. And all of this was verified by her childhood pastor's wife, who called her that little cripple girl. That was J.R. Goodwin and his wife, who had been pastors of First Assembly of God in Pasadena, Texas. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say it out loud. That's the kind of stuff, God wants to do. Say it again. That's the kind of thing God wants to do among us. Amen. Shout out loud five times. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. So how did that cripple woman get faith for her healing? I said, how did that cripple woman get faith for her healing? God loved her more than he does you. Is that it?
No.
Or one day he was just flying by like a bird overhead and dropped faith down into her heart. Is that how it happened?
No.
What if she had just listened to those tapes for 1 month? What if she had just listened to those tapes for 2 months? Or 3 months, or four, or five. How many times have we been right there? I said, how many times have we been right there? Like the children of Israel. How many times have we been right there, right on the brink of our miracle, and then we quit and gave up because we allowed the devil to talk us out of what we were asking God for and believing God for? I'm convinced this is why Satan gets people to leave Faith Christian Center. They are right there. They are on the brink of their miracle. They are right there. And like the children of Israel, they refuse to stay with it. They refuse to enter in. They refuse to fight the good fight of faith. And so they go wander in the wilderness for 40 years until they die defeated. I have made up my mind. Can you tell? Are you getting it? I have made up my mind. I am not going to spend my life pushed around by Satan. I am not going to listen to him. I am not going to believe him. I am not going to be talked out of what Jesus did for me 2,000 years ago. I am not going to be bullied by the devil, and that's what he is. He's the chief bully. No, I have made up my mind, and here I stand. I stand on the Word of God, and I'm going to hear the Word of God. If I have to build faith, fine. If I have to pray more, fine. If I have to believe God and believe I receive 1,000 times a day, whatever I've got to do, but I am not going to be robbed, and I'm not going to be stolen from, and I'm not going to be killed, and I'm not going to be destroyed by somebody like the devil. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that ye might have life and have that life more abundantly. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You see, we live in the day of instant this and 4 minutes that, and everyone wants everything to happen instantly. But God is not in the instant pudding business. Sometimes you just have to take time to hear and hear and hear and hear. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Praise His holy name forever. So then if God says do it, that means I can do it. If God says do it, that means I can do it. February of 1997, I was preaching in Mombasa, Kenya. And I was a little irritated because in the previous board meeting, I was on Missionary Bud Sickler's board, and sitting in Atlanta. And I asked the question, I mean, I was a youngster. How many, 27 years ago, I was 41. And I asked these older men, and you can't believe, one guy there was the second man, the second engineer ever hired by Pfizer. What would his stock options have been worth? And another guy was the heir to a department store chain, and I'm just this youngster, and I said, how long are we going to sit here and talk about building that building in Mombasa? Why don't we just raise some money here right now? And the silence I got is just the kind of silence you just gave me. See, I've been speaking faith, but y'all just sitting there like a calf staring at a new gate. And, I mean, nobody gave nothing. I think we gave something. It wasn't that big, but nobody, I mean, except for the church, nobody gave anything. And so the next February, I'm preaching for missionary Bud Sickler. I'm walking around the hotel compound praying. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, the holdup on this building project is the roof. We thought it was going to be $500,000. And he said, I want you to put another man's dream and vision, and listen, this is how you get rich in the kingdom of God. Let him who has ears to hear, hear, and let him who has eyes to see, see. This is how you get rich in the kingdom of God. Amen. He said to me, well, how do you know it was the Lord? Well, I think it kind of turned out. He said to me, if you will do this, if you will put another man's dream and vision ahead of your own, he said, I'll give you anything you want. Talk about how to write your own ticket with God. And then I, even with that kind of promise, I didn't say yes. And then he said to me, you don't think you can do it, but I'm telling you, you can. And I say by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ here tonight, there are folks here and the Spirit of God has been speaking to you about doing something big. And you don't think you can do it, but God is telling you, you can. Amen. Hallelujah.
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 Amen. And then there was another challenge. January of 2000, it took that long for that building project to proceed that long. And my phone rings at I-30, and Bud says, partner. And whenever missionary Bud Sickler or Marilyn Hickey would ever say, partner, I knew it was going to be an expensive phone call. And he said they were unable to get the steel into Kenya duty-free like they had hoped. And so it was going to be $600,000 instead of $500,000. I said, let me call you back, Bud. And I put the phone down, and I said, Lord, he said it was $500,000. You said it was $500,000. I said it was because, see, we were trying to set aside money to buy land. We didn't own this land. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, what kind of partner are you? He said, are you the kind of partner that goes partway and punks out? Or he said, are you the kind of partner that stays a partner until the last building's built and the last bill is paid? I picked up the phone. You know, back then, there were no cell phones yet. Well, there were cell phones, but nobody had one. And so I picked up the phone. I called Bud back. I said, I'm coming anyway in 2 weeks. I said, I'll be there, and I'll have the check. And thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. I did, because the next Sunday he went to be with the Lord. But he went to be with the Lord knowing that Dr. Gene Lingerfelt gave his word that he would be there with that sixth $100,000. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Not Pastor Punk. Dr. Gene Lingerfelt gave his word. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
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 I didn't mean to tell these stories, but the Lord's talking to somebody here. Say it out loud. With God,
nothing is impossible.
Not only is nothing impossible for God, but Jesus also said, nothing is impossible for him that believeth. Hallelujah. Say it out loud. I got mountain moving.
Seed in the ground.
Nothing impossible.
Faith in God.
Hallelujah. So when God comes along through the Apostle Paul and says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, that means I can resist the devil and that means he will flee. And if doubts persist, and I'll tell you ahead of time that they will, the devil will see to it that they do, then you resist the doubt. Call it by name. Doubt, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Fear, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Unbelief, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And he'll leave. So never doubt for 1 minute that you have the answer. And if doubts persist, rebuke them and say, doubt, I resist you in the name of Jesus. And get your mind right back on the answer and constantly affirm that the promises of God are true and that God has answered your prayer. Now, why can we do that? 1 John 5:14-15, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So if you took step number one, you found scriptures that promise you the things you're asking for. His word is his will. So then if I've asked according to the will of God, haven't I? Well, this is the confidence. This is the confidence. Shout confidence.
Confidence.
This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have whatever we've asked of him. Now, they may not have come into manifestation yet, but we know we have them. And this is the heart of the whole thing. They may not have come into manifestation yet, but we know that we have them. How do we know? How do we know? If somebody was here tonight and you had some kind of pain in your body, and I said, come on up here, and I laid hands on you, and instantly the pain went away, and I said, are you healed, brother? Are you healed, sister? And they said, yes, sir. And I said, how do you know that you're healed? 19 out of 20 Christians would say, because the pain is gone. And that is not the answer. The answer is, I know that I'm healed because Jesus took up my infirmities and bore away my diseases. I know that I'm healed because by his stripes, I have already been healed. I am healed because Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for me. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. You see, if you say you're healed because the pain went away, what are you going to do when Satan arranges for the pain to come back?
Amen.
So we have got to know our business according to the Word of God, and we have got to have a basis. We've got to have a foundation for our faith. And the foundation of our faith is not how we feel. I said the foundation of our faith is not how we feel. Feelings are the most unreliable things in human experience. I feel like a man. I feel like a woman. You know, whatever. I mean, dear Lord, no. How can anybody go by their feelings? Amen. We know that we have them because we have God's word on it. That's it. I know, and that's where we were. That man, that's how we broke that logjam in 1989 financially. All my needs were met. I said all my needs were met. I said it in the offerings. People criticized. All of our needs are met. All of our bills are paid. The money's coming. Yeah, but, you know, doesn't look like it. Well, we're not going by what we see. We're going by what the Word of God says. All of our needs are met. The Lord, my God. And then we shifted into second gear. We're being made rich in every way so that we can be generous on every occasion. You know, every time I shifted gears, I had people leave. Hallelujah. So you're the Ferrari crowd.
Amen.
Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
I'm not gonna compromise the Word of God to make people happy. The Bible is the Bible.
Amen.
You deal with it or you miss out on everything.
Right.
Amen. No, so he says, have faith in God. So these answers may seem like, it may seem like they have not yet come into manifestation, but we know that we have them. We know because we have His Word and because we're thanking God and praising God for the answer. So then if doubt persists, and the devil will see to it that they do, then rebuke them, resist them, and say, doubt, I resist you in Jesus' name. Fear, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And we have God's Word on it, they will flee from us. And then constantly affirm that the promises of God are true and that you have the answer. Constantly affirm that the promises of God are true and that you have the answer. Eradicate. Eradicate means to uproot, to remove, to destroy utterly. Eradicate every suggestion, image, vision, dream, impression, and feeling contrary to what you're believing God for. Eradicate all thoughts that do not contribute to your faith that you have. That you have what you have asked for. Are you listening to me? Amen. Now, church folks oftentimes have been taught incorrectly, and no one can advance beyond their actual knowledge. Now, you see, people think very often that everything over in this realm of suggestions, images, visions, dreams, and impressions is of God. No, no, no. The devil moves in that area also. We need to remember that not everything in this area of suggestions, images, visions, dreams, impressions, and feelings are of God. God does move in those areas, but not everything in those areas is God, because the devil also operates in those realms. And remember, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:14, Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. This is exactly what the Antichrist is going to do as it comes to power. Why would I call the Antichrist an it? Read the book of Daniel. Satan isn't an angel of light, but he masquerades as an angel of light. That's the reason we need to get the Word of God in us and know what the Word of God says. If it's not in line with the Word of God, it's not right, and it's not God. I don't care how spectacular it is. If it's not in line with the Word of God. It's not right. If it contradicts the Word, and if it's negative, then you know right off it's the devil and not God. You know, people need to do their annual Bible reading. The false prophet's going to do signs, wonders, and miracles. Because if it's God, he's going to encourage you positively to act on God's Word and to believe. But you see, much damage has been done in many areas of life because folks have had supposedly some kind of vision or some kind of word from the Lord. And we're not opposed to visions if they're in line with the Word of God. Or folks have had supposedly some kind of a dream or an image or suggestion or impression or feeling. And they go by that instead of going by the Word of God. And much damage has been done. I've heard people say, well, I just feel like God heard me. And I like to say, well, no, He didn't. If you're going by feelings, you don't know anything. The truth is, He heard you whether you felt like it or not, if you went to Him in faith, because we've got Word on that. And yet people base the answer to their prayers on feelings rather than on what God has said in His Word. People base the answer to their prayers on feelings and not on faith. And so when their feelings change, then they say, well, I thought He heard me, but I guess He didn't. Well, I thought He healed me, but I guess He didn't. Listen, you cannot go by feelings. Tell your neighbor, you cannot go by feelings. Tell the neighbor on the other side, you cannot go by feelings. They think anything that seems supernatural or spectacular is God. But the devil works in that arena also. Are you listening to me? Jesus said in Mark 3:25, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So the devil is not going to work against himself, but he might allow it to look like spectacular or supernatural things are going on temporarily so as to confuse people and to get them off course for eternity. Pagan peoples have healing rituals, and it may look like some people get healed in those pagan healing rituals. Now, why would Satan allow that? Why would Satan take his hands off people temporarily to make it look like some people got healed in a pagan healing ritual, to confuse people and to get them off course for eternity? And so there are people who think anything that seems to be supernatural or spectacular is God, and so they go chasing after signs. We're not talking about believing God with your head. We're talking about believing God with your heart, your spirit man, your inner man. We're talking about being born again, becoming new creations in Christ Jesus. And we're talking about believing God's word and acting upon God's word. Now listen, you know, I can hear them. It's like a whole course. People complaining about, you know, action, taking action at Faith Christian Center. I faced it 51 years. People, you know, they don't want to do nothing. I know that's not good English, but it communicates. And then I meet them later. They may stop by for an Easter, or they may stop by for some special meeting, and they haven't made any progress at all. And while they're not making any progress, man, we're just making progress by leaps and bounds. Yes. So you realize God is the master engineer of the whole earth. The whole thing was designed on sowing and reaping. If a farmer doesn't sow, a farmer doesn't reap. But this generation thinks that they don't have to do a doggone thing. I guess they don't. They just sit around and wait for their check until some squatter moves into their Section 8 apartment, and then they're going to be in a real mess. Amen. But it doesn't work like that. Life doesn't work like that. You got to put in some effort, man. You got to put in some elbow grease, man. You got to do some due diligence to get ahead, not just in the world, but also with God. Amen. Without faith, I gave you that. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who haphazardly and carelessly seek Him. Is that what the Word says? No, those who diligently seek Him. Amen. 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 And so how do these people get results? Well, you know, the devil got them bound, and he doesn't mind taking his hand off them temporarily just so that he can bind them up more later. But it looks like something supernatural is going on. It looks like something spectacular is going on. But thank God we don't have to be deceived. We can walk in the light of the Word of God. And I don't care what kind of vision or experience or dream or suggestion or feeling or impression you might have, if it contradicts the Word of God, then simply do not accept it. If it contradicts the Word of God, eradicate every suggestion, image, vision, dream, impression, and feeling that does not contribute to your faith that you have what you have asked for, because the devil will move in these areas to rob you of the blessings of God. Kenneth Hagin, the one that went to be with the Lord in 2003, actually tells a story about a pastor you'd think you'd know better, a full gospel pastor, said that an angel appeared to him in his bedroom and told him that in his particular case, it wasn't the will of God to heal him. And the pastor believed this so-called angel. I guess it was a fallen angel. I mean, you know, and Dad Hagin took him to task. You're not supposed to believe any creature that contradicts the written Word of God. I mean, if it was an angel from God, it would not contradict the written Word of God. Amen. Amen. Can I get a better amen?
Amen.
So let's say you get healed, then later some symptoms return. If you're going by feelings, you might say, well, I thought I was healed, but I guess I'm not. And if you do that, what you're really saying is, come on back in, Mr. Devil, and Satan will certainly oblige you if you invite him back in with your big fat mouth. So we've got to not walk by feelings, and instead we've got to stand our ground. Having done all, we already covered that. Having done all, sometimes, man, you just got to stand. I said sometimes you just got to stand. And the reason people do not receive answers to their prayers is they do not stand. When we go to the Word and put the Word above all other knowledge, we get light. Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. The devil will talk to you. He will talk to you through wrong religious upbringing. He will talk to you through doubt-filled friends or relatives. And he will talk to you through suggestions, images, visions, dreams, and impressions. And you need to know this and to be aware of it. I mean, you could be out praying, and as far as you know, you're in faith, and you're believing God. And then all of a sudden, some emotion of fear wash over your soul. People need to understand that we have an adversary. The word adversary in the Greek means one who is arrayed against you. like a military operation. We need to understand that there is opposition out here, and we are going to have to stand, and we're going to have to make sure that we don't knuckle under, and we don't bow, and we don't bend, and we don't give, and we stand in faith. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
For example, when you're tempted to sin, if you'll analyze it, you'll see that every sin was preceded by a thought of an impression or of a memory of pleasure. These are Satan's devices. And the same thing is true over here in the faith realm. Satan will use these devices to cast shade on God and on His word in your thought life. And he'll plant thoughts in your mind like it's not God's will to heal everybody. Or you might go to church and hear that healing went out when the last apostle died. See, and I'm going to be bold about it, and I was bold about it two nights ago, but I'm going to stay bold on it. Any voice that contradicts the written word of God is spoken by a demon. I don't care if it's in a pulpit or not. Any voice that contradicts the written word of God is uttered by demonic inspiration. Or on success and prosperity. I've heard this for 51 years. That's just for the Jews. Or that doesn't belong to us under the new covenant. People ought to read their Bibles. You go to Galatians 3, it covers this. Everything in the old covenant is ours, and everything in the new covenant is ours. This is why we need to go to the Word and put the Word of God above all other knowledge. Tell your neighbor, put the Word of God above all other knowledge. Tell the neighbor on the other side, put the Word of God above all other knowledge and get light on what we're believing God for. One way we combat these devices of Satan is simply follow the instructions of Jesus in Mark 11, 24 and say over and over and over and over, I believe I received my healing. And you need to know that the devil can quote Scripture too. Did you know that? The devil quoted and twisted Scripture to both Eve and Jesus. The devil quoted and twisted Scriptures to both of these people. You can make the Bible say anything you want it to say, and so can the devil. Here's an example, and it's all Scripture. Judas went and hung himself. Go thou and doest likewise, and what thou doest quickly. Now that's all Bible, but we know that's not the will of God for our lives. We have got to interpret the Word by the Word. Both Finis Jennings Dake and Dr. William Toler at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary taught me that. And the devil doesn't give up easy. He is relentless. He's not a lazy daisy. He is consistent, and he is relentless because he is committed to you not getting anything from God. He doesn't give up easy. And the devil knows what you know, and the devil knows what you don't know, and he is fully prepared to use against you what you do not know. If you do not know your rights in Christ, the devil knows that. And he knows he can run roughshod over you all day, every day. The Word, the Word, the Word is your only offensive weapon. We dealt with that Sunday night. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The rest of the armor is defensive. The Word of God is our only offensive weapon. The Word is your weapon. And you need to know this. Every spectacular supernatural thing is not necessarily of God. If it contradicts the Word of God, eradicate every suggestion, image, vision, dream, impression, and feeling that does not contribute to your faith that you have. Shout out loud five times, I have it. Everything that would say to you that you do not have what you've asked for, because the devil will move in those areas to rob you of the blessings of God. You just got to get it down into you. I said, you've just got to get it down into you. I mean, you've just got to get to where it's like spelling your name. Amen. Amen. The Lord my God sent his word and healed me and delivered me of all of my destructions. Jesus took up my infirmities and bore away my diseases, and with his stripes, I've already been healed. Not only that, Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for me, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Not only that, Jesus gave me authority over all of Satan's works. He said, behold, I give you authority over snakes and scorpions and over every evil thing, and nothing shall by any means harm you. And Jesus gave me authority to speak to my mountains. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And Jesus said, if you have faith as a seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And then you speak to your mountain, and then you lift up your hands and your heart and your countenance, and you say, Father God, you bear witness. I have exercised my rights in the name of Jesus, and I have spoken to my mountain, and I have commanded it to go. And I know, Father God, you abide faithful and true, and you are watching over your word to fulfill it. I know, Father God, you abide faithful and true, and you are hastening to fulfill your word. So like Abraham in Romans 4, I call it done, I count it done, I serve the God who calls those things which be not as though they were, and as your son, I do the same thing. I call it done. Glory, 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 glory. I have it now. And this, thank you, Father God, this has been just another opportunity to prove that the devil is defeated and Jesus is Lord and the word of God is true. Armed and dangerous. You understand that? We're not just people waiting to be pushed around by the devil. Now let's get back to the mind. Philippians 4, 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Now why would he say do not be anxious about anything if anxiety were not a problem? Do not be anxious about anything but in everything. How many things?
Everything.
In everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. A lot of us leave out thanksgiving. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. The Amplified Version says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. And let me tell you what, if God tells us not to fret, that means I don't have to fret. If God tells me not to fret, that means it must be possible for me not to fret. That means I can keep from being fearful. Amen?
Amen.
The NIV says, do not be anxious about anything. If God tells me not to be anxious about anything, that means I don't have to be anxious. You know what that means? I can do it. Someone might say, yeah, but you don't know what I've got to worry about. Well, I know what the Bible says. God said through the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your anxiety, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Casting all your care upon him for he cares for you. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Well, if you're not going to fret and gripe and complain and whine and cry and you're not going to be anxious or worry, well, what are you supposed to do? Well, in a few things. Is that what Paul said? No. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in all things, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. This is why I'm a believer in praising God and dancing. Because it's just very hard to go and praise God and dance before him and be morose and worried and anxious and fearful at the same time. And when you go before God with thanksgiving, you're assuming that you have it. Amen?
Amen?
In everything. Everybody shout in everything.
Amen.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Present your request to God. So we dealt with this Sunday. He wants you to ask. The King James says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now notice this. Look again at the King James. But be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And notice that Paul just assumes God is going to answer, because he continues in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you'll pray this way, Paul said, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, the peace of God, the peace of God. So there's this onslaught. You're believing God for something. There's this onslaught that you're not going to have it, that on this occasion God's going to fail, that on this occasion the Word of God's going to fail, that on this occasion the name of Jesus is going to fail. And the enemy comes at you with fear, and the enemy comes at you with fretting, and the enemy comes at you with anxiety. Man, you just got to buck yourself up in the Word of God, and you got to let the Word of God come out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you just have to talk about how God is faithful and how God is able and how God has never failed you before, and the Word of God has never failed you before, and the name of Jesus has never failed you before. Amen. You've got to, I didn't intend on bringing this up, but like David after Ziklag, man, I mean, it was so bad, they lost their wives, they lost their children, they lost their goods, and the men were talking about stoning him. And the Bible says in the Hebrew that he shazaked himself in the Lord. Man, you just got to shazak yourself in the Lord. You got to shake yourself. You got to get a hold of yourself. Hallelujah. And you got to rise up and fight.
That's it. Amen.
If you think you're going to be nice to the devil and not die early, you don't know who you're dealing with. You have got to fight. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, as you go along, it gets easier. The Weymouth translation says, and then, when you pray this way, the peace of God, which transcends all our powers of thought. I love that. Transcends all our powers of thought, will be a garrison to guard your hearts and minds in union with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Then he says, verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think on these things. Think about such things. So God, through Paul, tells you to do something with your mind. I said God, through Paul, tells you to do something with your mind. So it's up to you. You got to do something with your mind. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Finally, brethren. And people stop right there. Well, it's true, all right. It's true, all right. And they go to thinking about what the doctor said or what the banker said or what the mortgage broker said. But he didn't just say to think about things that are true. There's more to something to think about as a Christian than whether it's true or not. It may be true, but is it honest? Is it just? Is it lovely? Is it of a good report? Is there any virtue in it? Is there any praise in it? If it doesn't meet the rest of the criteria, set it aside and go with the knowledge of God.
Amen.
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 I told this the other night. We were getting ready to build this building. A vice president with the largest church lender in America sat in my office up there at I-30. And he did not say, I'm sorry, Pastor, we're not going to be able to do this deal. That's not what he said. He said, ain't nobody going to lend you the money. And you know what I did? I ignored him because it didn't line up with Philippians 4:19. And it didn't line up with 2 Corinthians 9:11. And it didn't line up with Ephesians 3:20. And I just decided to believe God.
Amen.
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 It must have worked because we're standing here. And we ain't got no debt.
Amen.
Amen. So something may be true, but not fit the rest of the list. And if it doesn't fit the whole list, it's not fit to think about. So you keep your mouth shut and don't repeat it. Do not repeat an evil report. What is an evil report? Any report that contradicts the written Word of God. And if you want your prayers answered, keep your mouth off other people. And if you want your prayers answered, keep your mouth off God's people. And if you want your prayers answered, keep your mouth off God's ministers. Amen. Now, the thought I wanted to get over to you is this. Everything in this area of suggestions, images, visions, dreams, impressions, and feelings isn't necessarily of God. Even though it may be spectacular, it could even be an audible voice. What you have to do is examine it in the light of God's word. Remember the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:14 that Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Satan is not an angel of light, but he masquerades as an angel of light. And the only way you can know for sure what you're dealing with is by the written word of God. So if there's some supernatural suggestion or image or vision or dream or impression or feeling, and it lines up with the word of God and it contributes to your faith, well, then you can entertain it. Amen. But if it contradicts the word of God, you cannot afford to entertain it. Now, in this area, you'll have a battle because the devil will see to it that negative thoughts do come. And the devil will see to it that negative feelings come. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, the word of God is true and everything else is a lie. And he also used to say, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what I believe, and what I believe is the word of God. And he also used to say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And this lines up with what Paul taught in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not. I've always loved that in the King James. There's an activity, an action tense about that. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That is, we look not at things naturally. So we're not moved by what we see naturally, and we're not moved by what we hear naturally, and we're not moved by what we feel naturally, because we're looking at and we're focused on the things that are not seen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
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 And frankly, that's how we survive in this world. That's getting darker, not by the day, getting darker by the hour, because we look not and we have our eyes set on Him. That is the beginning and the end of our faith, the Alpha and the Omega. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We have an eternal perspective. We don't have a natural, carnal perspective. And in the realm of the unseen, I see myself with everything that God has promised me. You got to see it before you can possess it. You got to see it before you can possess it. You got to see it before you can possess it. You got to see it before you can drive it. You got to see it before you can live in it. You got to see it before you can have it. Austin's been telling the stories about how when he was a child, he hated Sunday afternoons because we would do three services up at I-30, and then we'd go eat lunch, and then we would go to various open houses, and we would look at houses. It was really embarrassing. I remember one we took him to. Austin ran around the house and found a bedroom. He said, this is my bedroom. And then Christina, you know, she said, this one over here is mine. And I was thinking, oh, dear Lord, you know, I mean, no way. I mean, but, you know, we just kept at it. We just kept believing God. We kept looking. We kept lifting up our eyes, kept lifting up our eyes. We were at one of those parade of homes. I think that was in South Lake. And, you know, it was where they had two or three new homes. And we're walking through one of them. This was during the week kids weren't with us. And my investments weren't doing so hot. And I came around one corner and Sue came around the other corner. She saw the expression on my face and she lifted her finger. Man, when Sue Lingerfeld, let me tell you what. When Sue Lingerfeld lifts her hand on you, you better wake up and pay attention. And she did this, and she said, don't say it. And if they gave me a house like that today, I would have no use for it. I'd sign it over to Faith Christian Center because I wouldn't even want to spend the night there. That's how far God brought us.
Amen.
I said, that's how far God brought us. But my point is, in the moment, it may look like you're not going to make it. And then there are voices, and they may chime in like a chorus and say, you're not going to make it. Your dreams are not going to come to pass. You're not ever going to get over to where you want to be. You're not ever going to buy that home or build that business or have that baby. It can't happen. It's not going to happen. But I came down to this house on this Wednesday night to tell you that we serve a living God in heaven, and there is nothing impossible for God. And not only is there nothing impossible with God, but there is nothing impossible for him who believes God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And if we were not doing impossible things, it wouldn't be any fun. It'd be boring. I said it'd be boring. No matter how bad it looked, no matter what evil report I got from bankers, no matter how bad it looked to my eyes, I just stood my ground. Satan was always there telling me to quit, telling me to give up, even telling me to kill myself. But I stood my ground, and I believed God, and I believed his word. I said I stood my ground, and I believed God, and I believed his word. Hallelujah. And my God met me there. I said, my God met me there. I just kept saying, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what I believe, and I believe the word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I don't know about you, but in these 63 years, I've come through many a hard place, many a battle. But I'll tell you one thing I know. Here's one thing that brought me through many a battle. I just stood my ground. Hallelujah. In the fall of 2022, when I faced the greatest health challenge of my life, I went out that morning, that Thursday morning, I thought I was going to die. You wonder why I'm laughing? Because I don't care. See, it just makes it so easy to believe God. Are you hearing me? I mean, if you're worried about it, if you're fretting, hallelujah, well, then it's harder to believe God. But I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to die. It's funny. Hallelujah. I mean, the pain was indescribable and what was going on in me and outside of me. And I just kept saying, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what I believe. And I believe the word of God. And every step, because I was walking and praying, every step was painful. And I was I gave up praying. And I spent 28 days praising God and thanking God and singing to God and praising God because I knew what the Word said. I knew what the Word said, that Jesus took up my infirmities and bore my diseases, and with his stripes I was already healed. And I knew that that was not God, that was Satan, because Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And I just stood my ground. I just stood my ground. I just stood my ground. I just kept saying, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what I believe, and I believe the Word of God. And sometimes I just have to keep saying it over and over and over. Sometimes I'd have to say it 1,000 times a day. I believe I receive healing. I believe I receive healing. Thank you, Father God. Jesus paid the price. I'm not trying to get Jesus to do something. He already did the work. I thank you, Father God, though I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it.
Amen.
See, I'm not trying to get God to do something. Jesus already did the work. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I just kept saying, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by what I believe, and I believe the Word of God. Amen. And I believe it shall be as God has said. I believe it shall be unto me as God has said. I believe it shall be unto me according to what God has said.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, that's how you contradict that evil report. And an evil report could be pain in your body. An evil report could be what they say at the clot shot office. An evil report. And you just have to say, well, I heard that. I respect that, you know. But I have inside information that you may not know about. Amen. 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 And sometimes I've had to do it for days. Sometimes I've had to do it for weeks. And sometimes I've had to do it for months. But I just stayed with it. I just stood my ground. I walked right on through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not camping out in the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Shout it out loud. Thou art with me. Amen. Shout it out loud. God's word is true. Shout it out loud. God's word works. Shout it out loud. God's word works for me. Point to your neighbor and tell them God's word will work for you too. Point to the other neighbor. Tell them God's word will work for you too. Now put both hands up and thank him. Hallelujah. Thank him for the veracity of his word. Thank him that he has never failed you. Thank him that his word has never failed you. Thank him that the name of Jesus has not ever failed you. Hallelujah. People are being healed right now. I said people are being healed right now. The Spirit of God is moving in this place. People, reach out by faith and pull in what God wants to do in your body tonight. Hallelujah.
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 I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. Thank God Almighty, I'm healed. I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. Thank God Almighty, I'm healed. I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. Thank God Almighty, I'm healed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, you better watch out. You could get the Holy Ghost. Forever, O Lord. Thy word is settled in heaven. See, and that's what Satan knows, and that is what is so despicable about him. He knows. He knows. And he hates God, and he can't touch God, and he can't harm God. So he goes after what God loves. So we just, man, we just need that David spirit, warrior spirit. Point number four. Step number four, guard against every evil thought that comes into your mind to try to make you doubt God's word. Guard against every evil thought that comes into your mind to try and make you doubt God's word. Now, you're going to have to maybe become a little discriminating in your fellowship. Now, we're talking about suggestions and thoughts, and that's one of the main areas where you're going to have a problem. Thoughts are governed by observation, association, and teachings. That's worth writing down. Thoughts are governed by observation, association, and teachings. So guard against every evil that comes into the mind. Why do people, even God's people, say things like healing has been done away with? That's preacher talk. That's preacher talk. You know, in government work, they call it a CMA report. Cover my, and that's preacher talk. That's a CMA preacher talk. That healing has been done away with, or it's not God's will to heal everybody. That's preacher talk. See, that's why I'm saying that thoughts are governed by observation, association, and teachings. So you may have to give up some wrong teaching that you have heard and go with the Word of God. Because their thoughts are governed by their teachings. That's what they've been taught. It's really sad. Their thoughts are governed by their teachings. Same thing is true with money. It's amazing to me. You know, I've been amazed by it all these years, how there's such resistance to prosperity. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't get it. Think of what we could do. Think of what we could do. Think of what we could do if everybody at Faith Christian Center was what is now a 10 percenter. And think of what we could do if every 10 percenter at Faith Christian Center, let's be reasonable and say quintupled their income. And if you went to school after 1995, that means times five. Think of what we could do. Think of what we could do. Think of what we could do. And all these years, people say, well, I just don't believe God wants us to have, you know, more than our needs met and more than enough. And I used to at I-30, I'd hand them an offering envelope and say, well, if you have so little regard for your money, here, you can give it away right here. And nobody ever took me up on it. I love giving money away. You ask, an employee wouldn't tell you, they shouldn't, but you can ask my wife and my son and my daughter. I love giving money away. You know why? Because he multiplies it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I discovered the whole secret of money. Amen. Give. And it shall be given unto you. Good measure. It's not like opening a Kellogg's cornflake box. And you open it up, brand new box, and you look in there and say, where's the cornflakes? And the echo comes back. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall God cause men to give into your lap? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, thoughts, people are wrongly taught. And they have wrong thoughts. So guard against every evil thought that comes into your mind and try and make you doubt God's word. Stay away from all places, things, and people that will not support your affirmation that God has answered your prayer. Listen to me. Stay away from all places, things, and people that will not support your affirmation that God has answered your prayer. Now, that may mean that there are some churches that you don't go to. You can go to some churches, and they'll fill you with unbelief instead of faith. And you'll go away wondering if God ever heard a prayer at all. In fact, you might go away wondering if you're even born again. We ought to know who we are in Christ. Tell your neighbor, we ought to know who we are in Christ. We ought to know. We ought to go to where the joy of the Lord is. If you're going places and there's no God there and there's no joy there, stop going. If you're going places and there's no joy there and there's no God there, stop going. If you're talking to people and there's no God in them and there's no joy in them, then stop talking to them. Now listen, I say these things, assuming you want prayers answered, assuming you have things that you need from the Lord. Amen. Now, if you're here tonight and you're in perfect health and you're already a multimillionaire and you don't care, well, then, you know, I guess you can go hang out with unbelief. But I can't afford it. I said, I can't afford it. Amen. I said, I can't afford to hang out with unbelief. Amen. 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 So what fellowship hath light with darkness? We ought to go and hang out where the joy of the Lord is, because Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Tell your neighbor, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Tell the neighbor on the other side, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So avoid joy-destroying places and people. Avoid joy-destroying places and people. And stay away from all places, things, and people that will not support your affirmation that God has answered you. Now, if they're neutral, that's fine. You know, I've got some relatives, and we can go in and have lunch with them, and they're neutral, and that's fine. That's fine. Now, we don't pick a fight and start making our faith confessions in front of these neutral people because we're not sure which way they'll go. So, you know, talk about the weather. Amen. But you have to make up your mind what is more important to you, this relationship or getting your prayer answered. We need fellowship around faith and healing. We don't need fellowship around doubt and unbelief. We need fellowship with people who believe like we do. People who believe God. People who believe the Bible. We need fellowship with environments and people which build up faith and don't tear faith down. Now, I would never bring this up. I just completely blame the Holy Spirit. But when we do our men's events, Why do I sit with the guys at my table that I sit with? Because I don't want to hear any doubt. I don't want to hear any doubt. I hear doubt all the time in that fellowship atrium. But you notice how this works? When does Pastor Gene go out to the fellowship atrium? When does Pastor Gene go out to the fellowship atrium? When? After I speak. So, man, you got to hang with the strong. You got to find people who build you up in your most holy faith. You got to find people that encourage you and edify you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, don't say, well, I wonder if I've ever spoken any unbelief to you. Probably everybody has. But anyway, but we just press on. Amen. I said, we just press on. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We love God's people. Amen. We just press on. So we need fellowship with environments and people which build faith up, not with people and environments that tear faith down. So stay away from all places, things, and people that will not support your affirmation that God has answered your prayer. You know why? Because He has answered your prayer. Because you took step number one. You took step number one. You know what you want from God, and you have found scriptures that promises you what you have gone to God and asked for, so you know. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. So you have it. But Satan is working night and day to do to us what he did to Adam and Eve. Think about it. They were in the Garden of Eden, and he talked them out of it. And I've seen it in my life over and 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 over, and you'd have to get Adam another 1,000 and overs. People had a great marriage. People had a great business. People had a great home. People had a great family. And Satan talks them right out of it. That's what he does. So you need to wake up and be smarter and hang with people who build you up and don't tear you down.
Amen.